Okay, so a guy comes home, and his wife says to him, "What's the big idea of you coming in half drunk into the house?" And he said, "I'm really sorry, but I ran out of money." A drunk stumbles into the back, of a taxi, and he says to the driver, "Slicha nahag. I'm sorry, but, excuse me, I should say, but do you happen to have room for 3 bottles of wine and a plate of spaghetti meatballs in your front seat?" And the driver says, "Yeah, for sure." And he goes, "Okay, great." And then he proceeds to throw it up in the front seat. The guy walks into yeshiva the day after Purim sporting a black eye. "What happened to you?" Rebbe says to him, "Well, I was carrying this really expensive bottle of wine, and some big guy just runs into me, knocks me over, and breaks this bottle of wine. So I already had a few, so I said to him, 'Okay, let's take this outside.' And the guy says to me, 'Listen, I'm a lover, not a fighter.' So in a forgiving mode, I gave him a kiss on his cheek. Turns out he was a fighter." Arriving home drunk, a husband cuts himself on the overhanging shelf in the garage. So he goes straight up to the bathroom to attend to his wound. Next morning, his wife says to him, "You came home drunk again last night, didn't you?" He says, "What are you talking about? Why, what makes you think that?" He says, "Because there are band-aids all over the bathroom mirror." A drunk stumbles into a church and sits down in the confessional box, and he's silent. The priest clears his throat, trying to get his attention, nothing. So he knocks 3 times on the wall. The drunk guy says, "Hey pal, there's no use in knocking. There's no toilet paper here either." I tell you these jokes because you understand that as any good stand-up comedian knows, is that in order to get people to laugh at a routine, you need to create a momentum. Once you get them going, the first joke is the most important joke. And if once you get them laughing, so you can even make not even great jokes, and they'll laugh as well. You need to create a momentum. And that's a very big yesod we have in Torah, in the Gemara, in the Talmud, and also in life. The Gemara Megillah. The Gemara Megillah says, the Gemara in Daf Vav and Beis, the Mishnah says, "Koros Megillah ba'ad Rishon, v'nis Avra Shana Kornosa ba'ad Rishani." So we, next year, Mr. Shem, are going to have a leap year. And as we know, we keep Purim in Adar Sheni, not in Adar Rishon. The Gemara discusses why. It doesn't make sense. Why don't we have an Adar Rishon next year, 2 others, next year, 2 Purims? Yeah. So why do we keep the mitzvos of the day on the second Adar, right on the first Adar? We have a rule that ein ma'avir on al mitzvos, the Gemara says. In fact, there's a famous tshuva of the Radbaz. Radbaz is, David ben Zimra was a great rabbi in Egypt. He also wrote one of the Nosei Kelim on the Rambam, in many editions of the Rambam. And he was asked the following question. You may have heard this. It's a famous thing. He was asked the following question. It's tshuva 1087, Aleph Pei Zayin. He was asked, "What do you do? A guy is he's in prison, and the warden is allowing him, giving a furlough for 1 day out of the year. 1 day out of the year, he can leave prison and return to his home. Okay, in prison, obviously he can't be mekayim mitzvahs properly, or a very limited fashion. So the question that was posed to Radbaz is, what day should he choose? What day? So they said, maybe you should choose Yom Kippur, maybe Leila Seder, there's so many mitzvahs on Pesach, maybe Purim, right? Because Yom Kippur is only Kippurim. So what day should he choose? What's the biggest? So the Radbaz says he should choose the next day. If he has 1 day, choose the next day. Whatever mitzvahs he can accomplish, we don't make cheshbonos, we don't try to see where can he do the best mitzvah, the first opportunity, eima avirin al mitzvah. He has an opportunity to do a mitzvah, that's when he should grab that first day. And so we understand that why it makes sense, the svara is that it should be in other rishon. Why do we push it off to other shame? So the Gemara there answers, they lismoch geula legula adif. It's better to join the two geulos. What are the two geulos Rashi says over there? Geulas Purim to geulas Pesach. In other words, we don't want there to be a big break between Purim and Pesach. We want to create, we're creating momentum. A person reaches a high on Purim, literally. All right? He reaches a certain level of Kedusha on Purim. And we want that momentum to carry him to Pesach. If you have a break of 2 months in between, he's going to lose it. He's going to lose it. So here we have, even though generally Eim Avir and Olam Mitzvos, and that is true, but there's something that maybe trumps that. And that is creating momentum, creating a continuum, that there shouldn't be a big hefsek between one experience of Kedusha to the next experience of Kedusha. And we have many, many examples of this throughout Shas. The Gemara in Brachos, the Gemara in Brachos in Daf Dalam and Beis says, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ezu ben Olam Haba, ze asomech geula letzvila. Okay, who's considered the person that's worthy to go to the next world? The person is somech geula letzvila. Shel Arvis. Seems like a very, very simple thing. Right, we all do this. We all say the bracha Gal Yisrael, and then immediately we say Hashkiveinu Zehemshech of it, and then we say the Shmon Esrei. In the morning, we do it as well. Rashi has a very, very beautiful lashon here. Quotes Yerushalmi. Says Mi she'enu somech gula l'tfila l'mahu domeh. The person who is not somech gula l'tfila, the person who says the brachos and then stops, and he doesn't daven right away. So what's he compared to? Le ohavo shel melech, to a close confidant, a good friend of the king, one who loves the king. Sheba v'dafak al pischo, he knocks on his door. Yotza melech u'matzao sheiflig, he knocks on the door of the melech comes out to see who it is, and the guy, he leaves. Doesn't wait for the melech to come. He knocks on the door, and then he books out of there. Afu ifli. So the melech also leaves. Ela ye adam mikarev laKadosh Baruch Hu ilav umeratzehu b'tishbachos v'kilusim shel yitzias Mitzrayim. Rather, Kadosh Baruch Hu should draw Hashem close to him. He appeases him with praise, glorifies him about Yitzias Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so benevolent by taking Zayin Mitzrayim, who miskari ve'lav, he grows closer to him, uba'odu korav ve'lav, yesh lo l'tvo etzrachav. And while he draws HaKadosh Baruch Hu close to him, and he draws close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's when he makes his requests of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the deeper pshat here? The deeper pshat here, first of all, so you see that Hasomech Gula Tefillah, you reach a level through when you say the brachos of Kriya Shema, the brachos after Kriya Shema, of Gal Yisrael, where you're praising Hashem, that he was Gal Yisrael, that he took us out of Mitzrayim, you're having a level, drawing close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right immediately, you draw close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't be mafsik, don't stop, take it to the next thing and daven Shmoneh Esrei. But it's even deeper than that, in the sense that What is it? What's the idea of Shevach? We start our tefillos with Shevach, and then we make the bakashos. The ikar of tefillos, the bakashos, is what we ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The brachos of Achonin Das, Slach Lanu, Rifa'enu, Es Tzemach David, etc., etc. That's the ikar part of tefillos. We say Shevach. So people normally assume to think it's like you're buttering up Hashem, right? You praise Him because you're going to ask Him something. It's like you go to your father, and you say, Dad, wow, Dad, how are you? It's so nice, you're looking good today. You know, your father already knows, like, okay, you're full of it. I know where you're getting at. You want the keys to the car, you want to go take the car Saturday night. I know where you're going with this. Like, what? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets fooled by such a thing? That's not the idea of Shevach. We're trying to butter Him up so we can ask for something. The idea is that when you when Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you say Hakel Hagadol Yibor Vanora, what you're doing is you're being mevatel yourself. You're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu is awesome. He's so great. The truth is, I'm nothing. I don't really deserve anything. And you come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a beggar. You come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like I'm a nothing. I don't deserve this. One of the most beautiful ways to start a tefillah is saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, I don't really deserve this. You're a busy guy. You have so many greater things, and I don't really deserve anything, to be honest with you. But b'chol zot, Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's to put you in a sense of bittul. Tefillah is about being mevatel yourself, and that's what Shevach does by praising Hashem. You're saying how awesome, how great it is, how great He is. You're placing yourself, you're creating that sort of, by creating a distance, that's how you draw closer. By showing how small we are, that's how we draw closer to Hashem. But the idea is that there's a momentum that's created. I create a momentum, I say Gal Yisrael, and I say Shevach of the first brachos of Shemoneh Esrei, right? And then I ask. But it's one opportunity of drawing closer to Hashem that breeds another. The Gemara later on in Bracha says, "Misha holeich mi beis haknesses miyad beis hamedrash, hu yeh miroi pnei hashchina." Person who goes immediately from shul right away to the beis medrash, he is from the roi pnei hashchina. That's a big deal to those who. Those are people going to see the Shechina, see the face of the Shechina, whatever that means, kiveyachol. You take the Kedusha from davening, and straight away, you take that experience of Kedusha, straight away, you put it into use. Take it right into your Limud Torah, right into learning, without being mafsik. So, not that it's so relevant for here so much, but guys who like, you know, they take off their tefillin before davening, okay, it's davening, it's gross davening, it's long davening, and a chanami. But there is stuff that go on here after davening. Rabbi Ifra gives a halacha share, people can sit and learn. That's what the halacha is, brought down the halacha, this Gemara. It's not just the Gemara, it's not just a nice idea. But it's actually brought down the halacha. We spoke about this way, way back in the beginning of the year, I don't know if you recall. You're supposed to go right from davening to learning. But some people go, not only they don't wait till the end of davening, but they take off their tefillin already, you know, as it's saying Ashrei. They want to quickly run down to breakfast, or quickly skip breakfast, so they get right back into bed. Those are not from the Roi Pnei Hashchina. Doesn't mean a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't love you. Doesn't mean you're not a good guy. Kadosh Baruch Hu loves every one of us, no matter what we do, no matter we blow up a whole year or our lives or we worship Avodah Zarah. So it's all a Kadosh Baruch Hu still loves you. But never forget that. No matter where you are next year, whatever you're up to, a Kadosh Baruch Hu loves you. Just like a parent loves a child, no matter what he's up to. There are ways you make like your parents proud, right? You do well in school, you make your parents proud. You get a good job, your parents are proud of you. You do, and there are many parents who value other things, maybe things that have more value, like my son is learning. My son is doing mitzvot. My son is involved in chesed. That brings even more nachas to parents. But when you come home and you got a bad grade, or maybe you failed a class, or you messed up, you borrowed those car keys, and then you took the car keys, you borrowed the car on Saturday night, and then you got into an accident, chas v'shalom. And maybe you even drank before you got into an accident, chas v'shalom. Right? You acted like a total idiot. Parents don't love you any less. They think you're an idiot. Yeah, you're an idiot. They'll tell you you're an idiot. And why did you drink in the first place? Why did you drive after you drunk? You're an idiot. It doesn't mean they love you less. But if you want to be made from the roe pnei hashchina, you want to be a ben olam haba, you want to be these things that the Gemara is describing, so the idea is that you experience a level of kedusha, and you want to immediately take it to the next experience of kedusha. And when there is a hefsek, when there's a break, so that's likely to bring on a break in kedusha. It's likely to cause one to quickly peter out. It's like I think they still have these in parks, I imagine. We call them monkey bars, right? You swing, and you got to swing to the next monkey bar, right, and swing to the next one. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Still call them monkey bars? So the way you're able to get from one side to the other is if you create a momentum. Right? Create a momentum. That's what gives you the ability to reach the next one. But once that momentum stops, right, you take a break. Just hanging there. Okay, you start talking to somebody. Okay, you see, you know, you're a little six-year-old kid, and you see some kid, some cute little girl with a lollipop, and just draws your attention. And now you're stuck. Because there's no momentum to carry to the next one. As much as you like to reach the next one, you can't. And so the same thing with in levels of Kedusha. The Gemara, and this we definitely spoke about at the beginning, the Gemara in Brachos, in the middle of Brachos, Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, Chassidim HaRishon HaYishon Sha'achas Kodem HaTfila V'Sha'achas Acharei Tfila, which is also brought down Malach. The person is supposed to wait, have a wait time before he starts davening. He's supposed to sit down, supposed to refocus himself. We spoke about this many times, also in the Chassidish Chabura. You're supposed to try to become mindful of what you're about to do, trying to remove all other distracting thoughts from your mind, and I'm about to enter into davening. I want to be present. I want to be 100% present. In other words, if I'm going to ask you right now, okay, between 1 and 10, how present are you right now in this little schmooze? Okay? If I would ask you, rate yourself between 1 and 10. How present are you right now?
7.
Who's at 8?
6.5.
6.5. Kobe?
I give myself 6.
Pretty good. Okay. So you want to be... So you should do this exercise, by the way. Do this exercise in davening. Okay? In davening. You're middle davening, and then to just catch yourself. You go, okay, think about it. How present am I right now in this davening? Okay, stop yourself. How present am I? And maybe like a little in your sitter, maybe make little markers. Ask yourself that question. How present am I right now? Am I here? How much am I here? And if you're at a 4 or even a 6, you may want to say, okay, let me try to get to an 8, 9. Right? Let me just stop what I'm doing. And that's the idea of Shoen Sha'achas Kodem HaTfila. But then, what is the idea of Shoen Sha'achas Achar HaTfila? Okay, I understand before Tfila. I understand during davening. I want to stop so I can be present in davening. What's the idea of Shoen Sha'achas Achar HaTfila? What's the idea of that? So, we were at today the kever of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. So Shlomo Zalman Orbach said the following thing. That's all. That a person should take those moments after davening to see how can I draw from the kedusha of davening, and how can I bring it into the next things I'm going to do today. To take a moment and to think, okay, let me pause and let me think about what am I going to do the rest of the day. How can I take the experience of kedusha from davening and take that momentum with me into the next thing I'm going to do, or the next things I'm going to do over the course of the day. Until the next tefillah. Until mincha comes around. And then the same thing before, the mincha, the same thing. I pause before I start to daven, I try to catch myself, try to be present, and then afterwards, okay, how am I going to take that kedusha and apply it till Marav, etc., etc. The momentum is going to be in your favor. You can swing, you can reach the next bar, the next tefillah. And so, my friends, the question we have to do now, we are now approaching the Shachas Achar HaTfila. We're approaching the moment of after, coming to the close of the year. Some people already have started to take off their tefillin a few weeks ago. Okay, already have made a run for the dorm room, to go to sleep, to catch up on seasons of who knows what, to meet their friends in places with a lot of sun and a lot of burn. But those of you who have not yet done so. So the question is, okay, now let me, as the year is coming to end, how, person has to think, how am I going to keep this momentum? What are some practical things I need to do to maintain momentum? We're heading into a long summer. Many of you in the room are coming back Shana Bet. Some of you are not coming back Shana Bet. Wherever it is you're going next year, you want to maintain a certain momentum. So what is it that I need to do to carry me over the summer, to carry me into next year, wherever I may be next year? What are some of the practical things? You've all probably heard the Gemara, the famous idea of Chaim Shmulevitz. Can't compare 12 and another 12 to 24, right? You've heard this? Right? Huh?
You have like a pot with the boiling air. You can't boil coffee like 5 minutes.
Correct. And, right, Chaim Shmulevitz says, how you couldn't even just go in and say, you know, have a shoku b'sakit. You know, something, couldn't come in for a drink, he had to right away go back to the Beis Medrash. 12 years he was learning, came to his wife, hadn't seen his wife 12 years, he couldn't just say hello, give her a peck on the cheek and, you know, none of your business, what else, and then go back? It's like the guy who is knocking on the door, the guy goes to the door, and it's his mother-in-law's surprise visit from Florida. And he says to her, "Oh, Schwigger, so nice of you. So nice of you. How long do you plan on staying?" She says, "As long as you're happy to have me." And he says, "What, you won't even stay for a cup of tea?" So, he got that one. The others I'll explain to you later. So I want to tell you about before we get into some practical suggestions, things that we can do, and if some people want to share, if they're thinking of something, that Dr. Shah, please share them. But just to close, I have a WhatsApp group, and when you, one of the things you'll have the opportunity to do, I don't know if you see these emails, but we have a WhatsApp group for like alumni. They help them stay in touch, stay connected. So I actually have a WhatsApp group of stories. It's called Stories to Wake Up To. I send out like once a week, twice a week. I send out stories to alumni. I also have people who have since I've had WhatsApp, like 2 years or whatever, 1 year, 2 years. So people like have come with me to Poland from different groups, so they also join this WhatsApp. So I send out stories. So I just sent out a story yesterday about this guy that I met in Poland. I just took a group who's from Toronto. It was 130 people, three buses. And it was other guys with me. I wasn't the only person. But it was the largest group that I've been involved with. I've been involved with schools that have had, you know, four buses. There's a school in London called the JFS, which is a massive school. There's like 2,000 students. So they have, like, they send like four or five buses a year. So I've been with that group. But I've never been with, like, adults having 130 people which is kind of remarkable, because adults, it's not like kids want from school, so they go to school, they go from school, big deal, what are they missing? Like, what are they giving up? Their parents paying the money? Of course they're going to go. But adults who basically taking like a week off of work in the middle of, you know, it wasn't a holiday in Toronto last week, even though it may have been in the United States. It was a full week of work from work. They had paid good money to go. And it happened because this one guy, his name is Isaac Oziel, who's from Moroccan descent, doesn't really have a direct connection, family connection to the Holocaust. He went 4 years ago. He went on Marsh Living, and he had a survivor on his bus, a woman named Fagi Liebman, and he was just blown away from the whole experience. It was a very uplifting, inspiring experience. And he came home after that thing. And like many of you who've been to Poland, like we spoke about, like, what's your ever since moment? What is it that you, ever since I went to Poland, I'm going to do this, that, this and that. And I'm sure most of you are keeping to it. Whatever it is, you were makabel on yourself. So he was makabel on himself. I want more people to have this experience. We need to send, realizing that survivors are not going to be around here that much longer. He says, I want to organize a trip and get as many people to go to Poland with a survivor. It's just a mind-blowing experience. And it was a great idea. And he started to get to work on it, and he had all these obstacles along the way. And had every reason to give up on this idea. He wants to bring 1,000 or 2,000 people in the next 5 years. That was his plan. And he had every reason to give up along the way, trying to raise money here, go to the federations in Canada, and all these dead ends. But he stuck at it. He stuck to it. He knew when he made that Kabbalah that was the right thing to do. When he accepted upon this task, this mission, he knew it was the right thing to do. And even if the obstacle was the way, what didn't seem to be in the cards, he stuck at it, and he persisted for 4 years. And 4 years later, he brings a group of 130 adults from ages 17 to 77, and all walks of life, religious, not religious, all kinds of people from all different parts of the city of Toronto. And he brought 130 people. And that's going to just, it's going to expand. It's going to be exponential, because all these people who had a fantastic week, they're all going to go back, and they're going to encourage other people. Next year, he'll probably have 200 people. And the year after that, maybe we'll have 300 people. And he's probably going to get to his goal. May take a little longer than he thought. And the windows of survivors are closing. But it was a matter of persistence, and now he's created momentum, and now he just has to continue momentum. So you need persistence, you need momentum. So what are some practical suggestions, very quickly, because time to head to the Vadim, is if you haven't done so already, before you leave yeshiva, so most of you guys are, let's say you have summer plans, those summer plans, like either you're going to camp or you're starting a course or you're starting work, it's not happening the week you get back. It's probably a week or two after you get back. You're starting your summer things. What's happening this next week? So don't say, okay, you know what? I got to just chill out. I'm going to camp. Task, whatever. I'm starting to work as an intern at a real estate firm in July 1st. I have some time just to chill out. And friends, that's a recipe for a break in the continuum, a break in the momentum. That is a hefsek. So before you leave here, you should plan out and as detailed as possible. Set up a chavrusa. I remember, I don't know if I shared this with you early in the year, and I apologize if I did, but when I was Shana Aleph, I was leaving for Pesach. So I remember I was on the line in Makolet and Yeshiva, right near Yeshiva, I was on the line, and one of the Shana Bek guys said to me, "So did you set up a chavrusa yet? When you get home?" I said, I haven't really thought about it. I guess when I get home, I'll. He goes, don't wait to get home because you're going to waste. Day's going to pass, and another day you're going to try a call, and you're not going to get through to the guy. And then you're going to, before you know it's a week, you're going to go, I'm already going back a couple of weeks later. So set it up now, that the first day you come back, you have a chavrusa waiting for you. Like Rav Meir Shapiro's mother did with him, that taught him how important it is not to go a day without learning. So that's what I did. I set up, the first day I got back, I had a chavrusa, and every day I was back. And I remember when I asked my parents about Shana Bet, they said, no problem. The only thing we were concerned is you weren't really serious about learning, but we saw that you had, every day, you learn chavrusa, something you take seriously. So the first day, you should already have a plan. First day you get back, you're landing Wednesday morning, okay? Okay, take 5-10 minutes for yourself, and then have a chavrusa. Say hello to your parents, give them a kiss, have some orange juice, a bagel, and then head off to the. I'm not joking. No, seriously, the first day, what impression that's going to make on yourself and on your parents? Don't waste, don't blow a day, but plan it out now. Make the chavrusas now. You're here. There's plenty of people to choose from in your neighborhood. And if you don't have anyone else from your neighborhood in this yeshiva, so the other yeshivas, do it now. It's very easy to organize this. And as detailed as you can get. And then have one set up where you're going. If you're going to Camp Morasha, have a chavrusa set up now. Set it up now. Don't wait till you get to Morasha. We'll see how our schedules fit out. You know, we'll see when it works out. We'll see what your schedule is, my schedule is. No, set it up now. And then it's already built in. It's important to say hello to your parents. It is important to be makir tov to the gift that your parents are giving you. You know, a lot of times we have these ideas that, all right, I'm gonna come home. You have all these plans. I have to get to this restaurant. I haven't had this in a while. This food in a while. And that food in a while. I can't wait to get the Sammy's bagels. And I gotta get all these things that you. And your parents not want nothing more than for you to sit down with them, even though some of you have seen them, you know, at Pesach time or some other time during the year, if it wasn't Pesach, and they want nothing more to hear about your experience. And they'll ask you like these annoying questions, like, so did you make any new friends? And you're like, yeah. Well, like who? And you're like, you don't know them. That's not the way we should answer our parents. It should be more like, you definitely don't know them. No chance to know them. Not playing Jewish geography. Just give it up already. No, seriously, Give them, you know, that first day, give to them. But the next day, you have a chavrusa already set up. Okay, just the last thing, just in time, the last thing. The last thing is, just in terms of practical things, is also next year. Okay? So those of you coming back next year, no reason why you shouldn't have things already in place about who you like to learn with, what are you going to be learning next year, besides the regular Siddharam of Gemara. There's somebody in particular, a Shana Aleph guy, you want to be his Mitzvah Harusa. So tell us now. Set it up now. Figure out how you're going to maintain the Avira of Eretz Yisrael if you're not going to be here. If you've chosen to go elsewhere next year, and where are you going to be, whether it's YU or Baruch or NYU or wherever it may be, Binghamton, so how am I going to try to have some semblance of Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael with me? And plan it out before you start. And make certain Kabbalahs. Accept upon yourself certain things that certain Yehari Val Yavors, same things I'm never going to cross this line. Things I want to take upon myself. But don't take simple things that, you know, like, you've never missed a day in Tefillin in your life. Let's say you're one of many, I'm sure, in the room that never missed a day of Tefillin in your life. You say, okay, I'm never going to miss a day of Tefillin. Okay, that's not a challenge for you. It's not a challenge for you. Maybe a challenge one day in college, but it's not a challenge for you now. Take something that's challenging for you now. I'm going to learn 2 Mishnayos a day. That's challenging, maybe, for you. Or maybe you do that already. So maybe you're going to take on a Daf Yomi. That's very challenging for some. May not be so challenging for others. Whatever it is, take something where it's a reach. You're stretching yourself. Both in terms of positive things you take upon yourself and things that you make sure you're never going to do. If you're someone that never had a challenge about eating non-kosher, so it's not such a challenge. Pick something else you're never going to do. And if for you it is, or eating out, or eating things like, I mean, Rabbi Benevitz gave a number of suggestions as well. Where to put on your kippah, make sure your kippah stays on. Since this is a great Kabbalah. And it may make sense. As crazy as this sounds, when I was in yeshiva, I used to wear my tzitzis out. And then I felt it's a whole machlokas, whether you have tzitzis out, tzitzis in, it's your whatever, it's a sign of... But it could be that it makes much more sense than wearing your tzitzis out when you're in yeshiva to wear your tzitzis out when you're on a college campus. Just like in the same theory of what he was saying about when to wear your kippah, more important to wear your kippah when you're out and going to places where you would think to take it off. And in yeshiva, you can wear them in, but when you go out and trying to make a statement, even though some people are not going to want to associate with you, and maybe that's a good thing because you're wearing your tzitzis out. Okay.